This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If I were you, if I were you, I know exactly what I would do. Messages to Jake and me, they'll tell you exactly what you need to hear.
I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
If I were you.
So this is the first and only advice podcast.
What's the worst that can happen?
Well, we can't be wrong.
Yeah, awesome.
Publicly kill yourself.
No.
Say yes.
That's pretty sound advice, actually.
Also, we will not help you.
Sticky situation.
Now you're carrying my son.
Take your pants off.
Mom.
Whoa.
Take your pants off, indeed. Thank you.
That was written by a Scottish actor named Samuel Pashby.
I can't wait to see you on the silver screen, Pashby.
And then he makes aggressive electronic music as Bastion with my friend. You can find us on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/bastionmusic.
Cool.
An actor slash musician. What's the most successful version of that? Who's the GOAT?
Jennifer Lopez.
Okay, well, let's think about it for
Jennifer
a little.
Fucking Lopez.
You need someone who can sing, sure, but
she
ideally
acts
as well.
Eminem.
Yeah, that's good. He was good at 8 Mile.
Drake.
Are those skill sets related at all, or is it just completely random to be good at both of them?
I don't know. Fucking performing? Yeah, dude, they're pretty related. Oh my god.
Well, that's like a concert. I'm talking about like writing and singing.
I mean, writing is one thing. I think writing is a different skill set.
So
singing and acting, it's all just sort of being a ham.
It's both acting. Like if you can act like you sing really well, you're right. A good singer.
I can act like if I act like Freddie Mercury. You know, like Rami Malek was an amazing singer, but only because he acted like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, like Bradley Cooper was a good singer because he was a good actor and he acted so good it was good at singing.
Can you act a sing? Act a song.
Act a song so good that you're a good songwriter and singer. So like, ain't it something, boy? Aren't you tired of being so hardcore?
I'm still Jenny from the block. I used to have a little, but now I have a lot.
Right. You're a bad actor and singer. So that stands. That tracks.
I never said I was good. I said J-Lo was good.
All right. For me, it's like I'm good at algebra and also Sudoku. Mm-hmm. That's my equivalent.
Why are you in comedy if you're so good at Sudoku?
Yeah. Are those two things related or are they just...
Algebra and Sudoku?
No, comedy and Sudoku.
Oh, no. I think everything is related to Sudoku, though, because it's kind of like it's dumb. It's like, it's asking, is that related to Tetris?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're good at Sudoku, you're not actually smart, right? You're just, like, addicted to a weird little game.
Are you bullying me?
Are you good at Sudoku?
This is you hitting on a girl poorly on an airplane. Like, are you good at that because you're smart, or is it a dumb fucking game? Oh, shit!
I hate turbulence!
Hold my hand, please. By the way, I think it's a 9 in that box.
and a 6 in this one. You splashed your drink on me.
Another ginger ale for the girl who's pretty good at a fucking little game. I think easy Sudoku is easy, but once you get to like the next level shit, it becomes like you have to actually be smart.
Really?
There's like easy, medium, and then hard level Sudoku.
I feel like that's like people saying easy, medium, and hard level word search. Like this one's hard because it's a lot of letters.
And it can go backwards freaking diagonal. Yeah. You have to catch up.
That actually
all of
is kind
of
that is kind of hard.
But no, expert level Sudoku is harder than expert level word search.
All right. Well, imagine fucking a full on 10x10. It's a wallpaper word search.
Yeah, okay? That just takes a lot of time. It doesn't like mean a smart person can figure it out faster.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry you bought the world's largest word search on fucking SkyMall. That was a waste of
money.
And
I didn't have the know-how to hang it up, so I'm doing it on the floor.
And you haven't found any words. Zero of the words.
It's covered in footprints because it's in my threshold.
Word search is like the poor man's crossword puzzle. I don't know any clues, but I can fucking find the word bladder.
Old Hawkeye's over here. I'll bubble this one.
I have to look for an L, and when I do, I sort of trace a circle around it and then look for the word A.
Oh, just find a J. That one should be easy. Okay, there's not a lot of J's.
It looks like a hook. Is that a J?
And it'll be used twice, so look to the left, right, top, and bottom.
Oh, yeah, you're getting mucus all over the board.
I have post-nasal drip.
Does it matter if it's a capital or lowercase O?
And pre-nasal drip. Oh, shit. It's coming out post and pre.
Mercy. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I am Jake.
I guess I'm back to hosting. That didn't quite work out for you so much last time.
It worked out perfectly. Everybody fucking loved it. They're clamoring for another Jake-hosted episode, but you've stolen the reins and you've usurped my power.
Maybe. Well, this episode is $3.99, so maybe for the next 400, it'll be a you situation.
Cool. I can take it over from 400 onwards for the next 400 if you want.
Yeah.
We can switch every 400.
And we will do for another 400 spot.
Tight.
But then we tight, really tight. Have to call it like at 800. That should be enough. That should be like, all right, we're good. This is
enough episodes. Like we've done enough podcasts.
Yeah, like we've recorded for 10 years at this point. This is quite actually enough.
I guess everything that we do is it's a solid. Like we did Jake and Amir for 10 years. We should just do all everything for 10 years, right? Or no, we did it Jake and Amir for 8 years, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, like two presidential terms. That's how we should be thinking about our lives.
Cool. Yeah, I love that.
Although, if you think about our Patreon, we have like bonus video episodes there. So that's even more episodes than 400.
Right, that's true. I'll start hosting some bonus Patreon episodes too.
Shout out to our Patreon. Patreon.com/JA.
Give us $1,000 a month and you can watch a, you can watch like a half hour If I Were You video every other week. And
way less
10,
than that. $1,000.
I was just gonna say
dollars a month. No, it's way less than that. You're thinking.
I was just gonna say it's if you it, there's like basically an extra hour and a half of content every single month between Jake and Amir watch If I Were You or Jake and Amir watch Jake and Amir and If I Were You bonus videos, and for $1,000 a month you can check that whole thing.
It's $5 a month. It's not $1,000 a month.
Well, that's the minimum, ass. Yeah, they can get it for $5, but you don't have to tell them to get it for $5. You could actually fucking dupe some schmuck into paying a G, I think. Edit that part out, but I don't want to.
I'm not going to edit the part out where you said dupe a schmuck.
Why? It's bad for you. It's bad for both of us if they don't subscribe.
It's bad for you. I'm okay going down with the ship outing you.
Okay. Well, shit.
Yeah.
If you're not going to edit it out, I don't know what to do for the rest of the episode. I feel
you'll
like I've really
one more
lost
weekend.
My footing.
Yeah, you'll have one more weekend that This episode won't have come out, and then on episode
399, you're gonna
out you.
Really, you're gonna out me for saying something pretty nasty about our fan base.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty nasty about it.
Like loyal. I'm sorry, but listeners. Loyal schmucks. No, loyal schmucks who have,
don't double down.
Who have lined our pockets with cash for the better part of a decade, and it's just gonna go out the frickin' window.
That's fine. That's fine, because you'll have gotten what you deserve. Just desserts.
I do deserve desserts.
And just desserts.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a softball question for you about music, actually. Kind of related. We'll call this guy Tom DeLong.
Love that.
Not really a hobby, writes Tom, but I've been pretty into music recently. Angsty pop punk from the late 90s, early 2000s, to be more specific. Pretty please, will Jake care to share with us his favorite tracks from Tom, Derek, Billy Joe, or any other bands my French ass has never heard of?
Wow.
Always a pleasure to hear from you. So this guy's in France, just discovering late 90s pop punk.
Very interesting. That's what a fun little journey you're about to go on.
Is it?
I mean, I had a great time listening to pop punk.
But do you have to be a 16-year-old American to truly appreciate it?
I listen to pop punk sometimes now, and I like sort of smile nostalgically at being like, wow, I remember when this line like really rocked my world. And I don't.
Yeah.
But I don't really get those like emotional feelings from it anymore. So I think you have to like be going through some shit. I think you have to be a teenager to like really have it hit home.
Yeah, I always wonder if like musicians that take themselves really seriously care that the people most affected by their music are like 12-year-old preteens who are going through some shit. Like Dashboard, is he like, because he was like 30 at the time. It's like, hi, I'm 12 and I love your music. But like nobody who's like 30 and a musician loved his music.
Was he 30 at the time?
I'm just guesstimating. If not him, I mean, then somebody like
right,
him.
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. Like you're older than the people. But like I think that's normal.
Musicians aren't offended by that?
No. I would not imagine that like somebody being like someone really, really connecting on a deep level with your music would ever be offensive or upsetting.
If they're all 12, I guess we have the slight comedy version of that where like our videos that we were making in our mid 20s were appreciated by junior high school students.
Yeah. I think that's totally fair. And I mean, you feel things really deeply when you're in high school. Like those, I think that maybe the situations don't match up to like, you know, my heart is broken forever. I'll never get over you. Like that's not, those words don't match your situation. Like you will get over that person, but like being able to tie meaningful lyrics and songs to the emotion that you think you're feeling, that's, I don't know, that seems valid.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
And nice for an artist.
So this guy's looking for pop punk. Is it just the classics? Do you have any underground, or is pop punk only good if it's pop? Like regular punk is too underground to be pop punk. The pop is popular.
Right. I think that I think Blink 182 was like an entry level into lots of like more like underground punk. So like there's pop punk and then there's like punk. But I feel like this dude should check out Simple Plan.
What's that?
You know, heard of Simple Plan?
Which one is that? What's their famous jam?
God, there's so many. I'm addicted to you. You know that one?
It goes, I'm a dick, I'm addicted, I'm addicted yeah. to you.
Right, yes, yeah, yeah, that one.
Okay, yeah, I know that one.
They were a French-Canadian pop-punk band, so that kind of maybe could connect with this guy, you know?
Oh, that's good, that's good.
Newfound Glory, obviously, that's a big one.
Did you ever, like, get into underground shit, or you're like, this is all great, it's all on the radio and it's perfect?
I think I did get into underground shit, like, from, like, going to these shows, but none of that stuck with me. Like, I'm trying to think, Jimmy World Pennywise.
The underground shit I got into was Jimmy Eat World.
Well, Jimmy Eat World was kind of underground before the middle came out.
Yeah, you just need one epic hit to go from underground to overground.
Yeah, there's, God, it's so,
it's so funny how much time I spent listening to Simple Plan. Like, looking at the album art puts me back at Hampden Hall being a camp counselor.
And you were never even a camp counselor. That's how powerful
pop punk is.
Takes me to time and place I've never been to.
Being into Blink-182 and stuff made me want to like go to local punk shows. So I liked the big popular bands, but then I liked just the local punk bands in my town.
Oh, that's cool.
So the I don't know if there's like a punk rock scene. And this guy, where is he from? France?
That's right.
Yeah, there's got to be some cool pop punk in France. You should check out your local bands too.
And then what are your top three? Just to give this guy a heads up.
I would say Newfound Glory, self-titled. And I can't say Blink-182.
You can.
Okay. The Mark, Tom, and Travis Show. And... maybe the All-American Rejects.
Who's that? What do they do?
Swing, 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 from the tables of my heart is just by a formula.
That's good.
That kind of shit, yeah. Oh, I mean, Fall Out Boy. Some early Fall Out Boys is pretty solid.
What's their number one jam?
Sugar, we're going down swimming.
Oh, yeah.
Number one with a bullet. But that's not the song that I like.
Cock it and pull it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not my shit. But like, that's that's like other people's shit. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't come here to hear your fucking radio hits. Like, what's track number four? Mm-hmm.
I want the deep, deep cut.
Yeah.
But what you didn't like? You liked pop punk. What did you listen to?
I just listened to popular music. So like, it was the best of pop punk. But then it was also like Weezer and Blues Traveler too. And then also like. Natalie and Bruglia as well, or Green Day. So like, I was just like, whatever was popular, I was listening to top 40.
Right, gotcha. I gotcha.
I love Newfound Glory, and I also love Tom Green's "The Bum Bum" song.
Yeah, oh yeah, but so do I.
But like, when Tom Green was on TRL, when the Bum Bum song went to number one, was that manufactured, or did he actually win that day? Like, he was there to celebrate with Carson, but how did he know that that would be the day that his song would be the number one most requested song? Like, did MTV plan that shit?
Dude, you really gotta like.
I'm like
focus
afraid that the whole thing was
shit.
Like not real. Like, it's, what yeah, if it was all it manufactured?
Wasn't. It was.
Like, were they able to actually count my requests live?
How many total requests did you send in?
Yeah, like I would call and I would request, but like, would that request count live?
You have black nail polish on your fingers right now.
Yeah, like I don't want to hear "The Boy Is Mine" anymore. I'm requesting live, totally, the Bum Bum song. And for it to be number one when Tom Green is actually in the studio, what are the frickin' odds of that?
I really wish we were doing a season three of Lonely and Horny so we could shoot you doing this.
I mean, like, his bum was literally on a Swedish.
A flashback of you in high school.
Hi, I'm calling again. I don't know if you're requesting this shit live.
His bum was on a Swedish, and it was on a battleship.
All right. I know
and
he's
then
in
it was all
today.
Alone, Carson.
I know he's, like, swinging by the Times Square studio today, so I want to make sure that it's number one. All right.
It'd mean a lot to me and Tom.
Call
and Glenn,
back.
I'm sure Glenn would appreciate it.
That show should be more popular now with like the internet voting than it was back then. Like Total Request Live, for those of you under the age of 30, people called in to request their favorite songs, and then at like 3 p.m. on MTV, they would play them in order of 10 all the way down to 1, the most requested song.
And that was the only way you could see a music video. Now it's YouTube. Now it's Vivo. You never have to call any. You can instantly watch whatever music video you want on the internet. I think
that's
it's better.
Right.
It's a better system.
In 1998, you had to watch at 3 to watch your favorite video. Like, you couldn't just pull up your favorite video.
Right. And you know that watching music videos is still popular because, like, Justin Bieber releases one and it will have 500 million plays.
Yeah. I guess...
So, like... That maybe just goes to show you how popular TRL could have been in its heyday when everyone is like, I want to see the new Backstreet Boys video. How do I watch it? There's nowhere I can watch it except begging them to play it on MTV where they play 45 seconds of it.
Yeah. And sometimes they would just like fade out after like a minute. You're like, wait, wait, that was my only opportunity to watch them run naked. Actually,
I won't be able to hear the bridge.
You couldn't buy the video and watch it, right?
I think most of these bands like had tapes and DVDs and stuff that where you could like get all of their music videos so you could watch it on your own.
Yeah,
time.
But other than that, you're fucked.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely stranded.
So fucked.
All right, let's take a break. We'll thank some sponsors and we'll be right back after these words. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code helixpartner20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is helixpartner20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than I can.
I do not
What about you, bub?
I'm in need of some. Let's see if you can help me out of this sticky situation that I'm in.
Let's hear it.
And then maybe when we record the next episode, I'll have the answer for you.
Cool.
My garbage disposal stopped working. A little blender that lives in your sink that I often take for granted because it's never broken.
Oh, yeah.
I pressed the little on and off switch, and it just hummed. It didn't blade like a little blender.
Okay.
It was just like, and then it stopped. I was like, oh, that's weird. And I shine a flashlight, and there's a quarter stuck in between the blade and the wall of the garbage disposal. I guess a quarter fell down there, and then the blender started working, and it jammed it up against a wall. And now a quarter is stuck between the blade and the wall, and I don't know how to get it out.
Between the blade and the you don't mean the wall of your sink. You mean
the wall
like
of like the garbage disposal down there.
Got it.
There's a quarter jammed in it.
Okay.
I can't take it out because it's like stuck with the force of a blender that was on. So it's like really jammed in there.
Well, make sure it's off. Turn it off.
I'm going to turn it on till I hear the hum and then just sort of try to finagle it away with my thumb.
If you're going to do it live.
If I can just jam my thumb underneath the blade and sort of flick the coin up towards me.
Yeah, you want to get your teeth around it if it's possible.
And now, like, since I have this house, every 6 months I'm approached with this dilemma of, like, should I YouTube this shit and figure it out, or do I have to call a professional? And sometimes I can do it, like fixing a light that's, you know, built into the ceiling. And sometimes...
Do you mean changing a light bulb?
No, I mean like ones that are hardwired into my electrical system.
You fixed a light?
Yeah, like I had a light that was like wired into the electrical system of my house. And I looked on YouTube and it's like, yeah, you just have to like put one of the wires around this thing and then the black wire around this thing and then it should work. I'm like, okay, I could do that.
Wow, good for you.
And then there was like the bidet incident where I'm like, oh, I could probably install a bidet, and then it created a leak, and then I was like, shit. I have to call an expert now, but since I fucked it up, the expert's going to be, has to get here more urgently, which will cost more. So I don't know where this garbage disposal incident is on the scale of, can I just fix it myself, or do I have to call a handyman? And will he just come in and like do this thing for like 20 seconds and be like, all right, give me $280.
Yeah. I mean, how much time have you spent searching so far?
About half an hour.
Okay. So you've seen the photos of like, you know, getting unhinging it from below the sink.
Yeah, some people have unhinged. Some people are like, if you have an Allen wrench, you can rotate the blades counter from what they usually spin, and that might loosen up the coin. And some people are like, you got to remove the whole thing and yada yada, drill it out.
Interesting. I feel like you should definitely, this is something you could try yourself before calling it a professional.
Yeah, I think at the very least I have to go to Baller Hardware, my neighborhood tool place, and say like, this is what I got. What do you guys recommend?
Yeah.
And then usually the guy there is smart enough. He's a handyman. He's like, I would do that, or I would do this, or yeah, you could probably do it versus not.
And yeah, you should take some photos of what it looks like from above and below as well. Don't forget to do that.
The below is there. It's just a black tube. I think most garbage disposals look the same.
Got it.
But I got a good photo of the actual coin stuck in there. You want me to text it to you?
Yes, please.
It's pretty gross because there's also food in the thing, of
right,
course.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what about needle nose pliers and just yanking them out?
I tried yanking. One of the places suggested using a broom handle and just fucking pounding it.
Interesting. And like just getting it to go down the drain.
Yeah. And it's so jammed and it's so stuck that like the broom handle did nothing to it. It was basically like hitting a coin into a concrete wall.
God, I cannot wait till this text goes through.
It's a pretty gross image. And again, it's like 6 inches deep into this tube, so I don't really have good leverage to try to pry it out. All right, I'm sending it to you.
Oh God, Jesus.
It already went through?
Yeah, that was instant. Yeah. Oh, you can't pry that out?
Yeah, you see how like there's these two metal teeth, like one of them is against the edge of the against the edge of the garbage.
Yeah.
So those two metal teeth are like basically shoved against the actual blade, shoved against the coin. It's not moving. It's not even wiggling.
It really looks like you continue to use this disposal past the point where it wasn't working. There's fucking hair in this, man. You have human hair in here.
And that's not corn and garlic. That's the face of a mouse that's sort of growing out of the food.
This is a really high-res photo. I can tell that this is a Georgia quarter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
See the peach.
A 1976 bicentennial.
I'll come over and fix it. I'll do it for free as long as I can keep the coin.
I'll replace your garbage disposal. Just do not promise me you won't scratch the coin anymore.
Yeah. Don't hammer it down the drain with that broomstick, you beast.
You would think the garbage disposal can go clockwise or counterclockwise, but it seems like it can only move in one direction, and that direction is to jam the coin further.
You know what's interesting? This week I have a similar problem, but it's the person that's living in my house, renting my house in Los Angeles, that says the garbage disposal doesn't work.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't think it's
a quarter epidemic. To me, from their email, it sounded like they were not pressing the right button.
Oh, yeah.
That's an easier fix.
Like, how do you get a fucking coin out of here? It's such a... I'm afraid I'm going to have to, like, take out the garbage disposal. Like, once I'm starting to remove stuff, and then, like, also there's water pipes going in and out of this thing because water has to drain, and that's when it becomes beyond my...
I'm absolutely floored that thing won't come out. It's crazy that it's so stuck. You really can't pry that?
No, because it's also, like, pretty flush against the bottom, so there's not, like, a lot of, like, wiggle room to get underneath it either.
I think you just jam it with a screwdriver, and you instead of... I mean, don't push it down, but you go against the edge... Get a little leverage and just boink it. You just doink it right out of there.
I don't have a lot of doink angle because, like, you got to think, like, my hand won't even fit through the opening circle of this sink. So, like, the slight contact I can make is not, like, full elbow body weight getting underneath and doinkage.
Right. But
it's also metal on metal.
Yeah.
I'll leave it until you're in LA next, and then you can come over and you can see.
That'll
for yourself.
Be a week of you not being able to use your disposal.
And then for whatever reason, the water is just not flushing down because you can see all this food is just creating a seal of sorts.
We should really pitch a TV show that is like basically this old house, except me and you are fixing it up.
Yeah, so like my air conditioner stops working and I have to figure out what the fuck that is.
God, we would die so fast.
That happened to me once and it turns out it was just my air conditioning filter, which takes 9 seconds to replace, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, that happened to us with our heater, actually. It's crazy.
All right, so if you guys have any unsolicited advice for me, maybe I'll post this picture to my Twitter. Although ideally, by the time this episode comes out, this problem has been resolved and I can tell you guys what happened.
Yeah, when are you going to go to Baller?
Today.
Oh, nice. Yeah, keep me posted too.
Yeah, you see how like the coin's like starting to bend under the weight of the metal that was sticking it. So like, it's really firmly in there.
Yeah, I would maybe just run it for a little while longer. At some point, this one thing will win: the coin or the teeth.
Yeah, it's not even moving a little bit. It's just like it's almost like it goes to start, but it's jammed, so it can't move.
She's gonna buckle. I really think it's gonna buckle.
Actually, let me fill up the sink with literal elbow grease, which is when you sort of squeeze the little excess skin on your elbow enough that oil starts coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That'll shine this nickel right up. Oh, it's a quarter, sorry.
But it'll turn it into a nickel.
I'm already down 25 cents just trying to fix this shit.
Exactly.
All right, let's try to answer some more questions.
Okay.
I mean, Christ. This is getting ridiculous. I can't do anything. This is insane.
Hey, it's all right. You can host a podcast and you can do Sudoku.
No, not even the intermediate Sudoku, actually. I was sort of talking a big game, hoping you wouldn't bring it up again, but now I feel bad.
Jesus, you shouldn't have. Why did you lie about that?
I can only do the easy level where it's like, they really hold your hand.
You were hoping.
Eight boxes are already filled.
You were hoping I wasn't going to bring it up?
Now I feel like a fucking moron.
You shouldn't enter into conversations when you're this fragile, where like if I bring something up again, you'll crumble. Like I was just saying good job.
I can't even do the easy ones, quite frankly.
Yeah, I know. You said you needed 8 hints.
Like I don't know the rule. I assume there's rules, but I don't know them.
You think Sudoku is just needing to fill in the box.
Yeah, it's like fill in the blank in any significant order. This is a guy who is trying to take the LSATs. Ooh. Do you have any lawyers in your life?
My father is a lawyer.
Okay, we'll call this guy Samuel. Did your dad have to take the LSAT?
Yeah, my dad fucking aced the LSAT.
Aced it?
I have no idea. I assume he did.
I had friends who took it out here in Cal. Or maybe that was the bar exam. Yeah, the bar exam is the one that's like 3 8-hour days. LSAT is like the equivalent of the SATs, but for being a lawyer and going to law school. Anyway.
Oh, interesting.
This guy says he's taken the LSATs in a few weeks, and he's been studying nonstop. But what you believe to be a problem is that my feeling while I take these practice tests, mostly relaxed, is vastly different than my feelings during the real exam, which will be high pressure and stress. I believe that you should prepare in the mental state which you will be taking the test. So how can I induce anxiety and stress during my LSAT prep?
Easy. Bees.
What?
Bees.
You want him to take an exam underneath a hive?
Yeah. I want him to put a hive of bees in a room and take the test. Now that's stress.
What about shortened time? So like you get 3 hours for the LSAT, see if you can do it in 2.5.
That's pretty solid. I just don't think it beats bees.
Yeah, that's me. True. All right, what if you're on a boat? So like you're kind of nauseous.
Oh, that's good. So yeah, I have like a little it doesn't beat bees, frankly, but no, that's I like true. That too.
What if you, a la Jake Hurwitz, wait for like a little panic episode and then whip out the exam and start trying to answer questions?
That's a solid idea, but what is more panic inducing than bees?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to like spitball here, but you keep saying bees. I don't know what else is more
some things
panic.
Don't need to be spitballed. Some things are a strike right down the middle, perfect, and they don't need to be improved upon.
What about a tarantula on your wrist while you're filling out the bubbles?
That's better than bees because tarantulas are panic-inducing, but they're not actually as dangerous.
As bees.
Yeah. I mean, bees are fucking really dangerous. You should never, ever take a test in front of live bees. That's the height of idiocy.
Of course.
That's why I think tarantula is really perfect.
We actually,
and I can't believe you even suggested bees.
We can't. You suggested bees.
I suggested tarantula. Bees. I think tarantula is good.
Absolutely not. I said tarantula. You said bees.
You can
and
listen
then you
back.
Bees were better.
You can
and then
listen
you said
back.
Bees were worse. That I thought of bees.
Do if you want to, we can pause and listen back. And I said bees, no. And you said you said bees.
Now you got me saying it. Have you had a panic attack since your panic attack?
No, that was the last panic attack. But I do think I got over my panic attack really slowly. I felt a little like fragile and frazzled after it. So
like for days.
It was almost like, you know, coming over food poisoning or something. It was like, oh man, that was crazy. Like I'm not as strong as I thought I was.
We were getting some emails from people saying that it was very helpful to hear you talk about it because they were going through similar things.
Oh, that is nice. I got some nice DMs about panic attacks also, and I appreciated them. It's nice.
Any bullying ones?
Yeah, a couple that were like, you have to set up auto payments for your property taxes in Los Angeles. You have somebody changed the name on your cable bill. Just like lots of like tiny little needling things that maybe like, oh my god, wait, what? I have paperwork that I fucked up on.
Yeah, being an adult is hard.
Little things that got me nervous. But yeah, no, I'm feeling much better. I've been doing this. Well, I've already talked about it before, but going on like runs, really like runs or bike rides, really helps like clear my head. But I started calling it a jog to break through the fog.
Why don't just call it a jog? You changed the word jog, but it still rhymes with jog to break through the fog.
A jog to break through the fog is a sunny jog to break through the fog. I think jog is just a nice little way of having a fun run because a jog is like, oh man, a jog feels like a slog.
Yeah,
but a jog, now that's a dog.
Are you okay?
No, I'm crying. I'm
How often do you take a jog fog?
I'm at the point where I have to take maybe 19 or 20 jogs a day.
That's not like a playful little jog like he described. You're running 19 times a day. That's a lot. That's a lot of jogging.
in the morning, I like to wake up, take a yog, or if I don't do that, then I'll take one after work.
Yeah, so that's two. And then where are you squeezing in the other 17 yogs for the fogs?
Between midnight and 7 a.m.
Okay, so you're having panic episodes throughout the night, waking up in cold sweats and sprinting out of your apartment.
I don't wake up, I don't sleep.
Yeah. And you think these yogs are... out. You're spending all your restorative time yogging through the fog, and
one
then you
second.
Wake up and you don't
one
feel
second.
Well.
Oh, I'll be right back. Can we just pause the recording for just 1 second?
All right, sure.
I'll be right back.
You're going to fucking take a yog.
I'll be back in 20 minutes. I'll be right back.
No, you can't take, we can't stop for 20
minutes. I need
minutes.
A yog. I need a yog. I'm in a fog.
We can't do a mid-pod rod. actually, we got to follow up pup ourselves, not just you following up on your pod, panic attack.
Let's hear it.
Remember the guy who was like living in a small town, and he left a note on a dash of a lady that he would go into the hardware store or something, and he thought he had a thing with her.
Oh yeah.
So he left a note on her thing, being like, "Hey, I think you're really pretty, and I'd love to hang out with you." And we were like, "That's the kind of thing there. If she does like you, that's a very sweet sentiment. And if you're just like a forgettable customer at her store, it's kind of a weird move. But we look
Correct.
Forward to finding out which one it is."
Yes, yes, yes.
So that was sent 5 months ago. And I said, "Hey, let us know what happened with that lady." Because we only answered his question recently. And he said, "I did end up leaving the note. And she emailed me that night.
Whoa.
And I ended up losing my virginity to her."
Oh, my God.
And we dated for 5 months.
Yes.
And then I said, "Why did you guys break up?" And she said, and he said, "After the fifth month, we realized we didn't click as well as we did the first few months. We broke up and remained relatively friendly until she moved to South Dakota for some reason. And I haven't seen nor heard from her since."
Perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
A 5 month dating virginity losing relationship from a note on a car.
Way to go. And that's what happens when you don't follow our advice.
Mazel tov.
Good on ya.
All right, sweet. Let's try to answer one last question.
Why not?
Here's a gym related dilemma.
Okay.
I'm an 18-year-old girl, writes Nicole. "Oh, and I joined a gym for the first time in my life. As soon as I walked in, I was met with a tall, gorgeous, obviously jacked Czech guy. Context, I'm Austrian, but I'm spending a year in Prague." Okay.
Nice.
"Who looked like he could be around my age working in the front desk. I signed my contract and I was only a little flustered, but ultimately all was well. I hit the gym again today, and for the first time, he was not confined behind the counter. He was in the gym working out. It's a very small gym, and I felt too awkward to badly work out in front of him. So I just stretched and left. This can't go on. Have you ever been in a position like this? And how do you get over your own gym awkwardness / fear in general? Love, Nicole."
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I've been there before. Like when you first join a gym, you don't really know how to work out, and you're intimidated by all the machines.
That's right.
And everybody there is strong. They're confident. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going. You don't want to try... Like, I would never, when I first joined a gym, I would never like fuck with a machine to like try to adjust the seating or like raise the bar on the bench press. I would be like, okay, I'm going to just stay in my little zone. I'll do free weight curls, a bench press machine, and go away.
Yeah. Or like if somebody's like, "Can I work in?" I'll be like, "I'm done. I'm actually done. Really, I just saw you like sort of eye this bench for 10 minutes and then slowly walk towards it. And I said, "Can I work in?" And you said, "I'm done." And now you're backtracking away from me. I actually realized...
"I'll see you in the steam room, okay?"
There is no steam room. Really?
"I'm going to get a schwitz in the parking lot then." "Excuse me."
Putting a pipe from your exhaust into the car. "Is this what you wanted?"
I think, now like I would go to the gym with my brother and he's like moving, dragging benches, putting bands on a kettlebell, like making your own gym.
Yeah.
I think it's just about time, but you have to get out of your comfort zone just a little bit. Feel a little silly and try working out in front of somebody. You could also watch YouTube videos or Instagram has a lot of like good workout examples with like equipment that you might have in that gym.
Yeah.
So you can go in like with a little, like a plan. I also think that gives you better workouts in general. Before I go to the gym, I like to like think about all of the workouts I'll do in my head or even write them down.
Yeah.
So when you're in the gym, you're like, I know exactly what I'm doing. Because if you just go there, you don't have a plan, you end up just wandering around, not getting a good workout.
Yeah, there's also apps, I bet, that like teach you not only how to use the equipment, but what you do. And lady can even ask this guy. I bet he would fucking love that.
Totally. He works at the gym. That's what he's there for.
Yeah, like, can I ask you a question? You're a new lady at the gym. That's probably his dream.
Yeah.
I used to go with, I guess I still do. I just go with people who are stronger than me. That way, I can just follow their lead.
Yeah, having a gym buddy is very helpful.
God.
That makes you feel confident, and you got a better workout because you're trying to impress the person you're with.
Yeah, and then you can say stuff like, can you hold my feet while I do sit-ups? And then like your form is still really, really wrong, but they're standing on your feet, so that's helpful.
You're talking about she says that to the guy she has a crush on?
Can you hold my feet?
Stand on my feet?
That was the original helping people at the gym, is standing on someone's feet while they did sit-ups.
Stand on someone's feet is a great pickup line.
Because then they can feel how the foot-to-foot connection is the strongest one, both mentally and romantically.
Yeah. Stand on my feet. And somebody would be like, why? And then, like, I have to do sit-ups.
You're a pervert.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Sweet. Thanks. Episode 399 in the books. Opening theme song was written by Samuel Pashby. If you have your own questions, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Next episode is episode 400.
Oh, my God.
We got to plan some sort of celebration of sorts. This has got to be a blowout, a 10-hour telethon extravaganza. We're
a
talking
tantric
about
podcast.
Old guests, new guests, a variety hour, singing, dancing, skits, bits, tricks, and skittles. Everyone that listens will have free candy delivered to them. We're going to throw this whole thing as a live stream, a blowout, HD, on TV, on broadband, the web, Twitter, simulcasted across the entire web. We're talking about Slack, a Discord exclusive, and a Twitter web exclusive. Facebook Live meets Instagram Live meets 24-hour telethon style comedy gold, all coming to you next week.
I actually can't host next week, so you'd have to do that one by yourself. Maybe Ben or somebody will do it, or you could just do it as like a vlog or solo show. All right. Have a good one, everybody.
Where are you gonna be?
What's I quit that? The podcast. All right. We'll see you later.
I can't
Thanks,
do it by
everybody.
Myself, obviously. I hyped it up. That's like a really big thing. All that stuff is stuff you pitched to me yesterday, by the way. What happened?
I'm gonna do it solo dolo.
You're gonna do it?
I'm gonna
you
do
just
it.
Just told
myself.
Me I had to do it solo dolo.
I'm gonna do it solo dolo because it is my idea, and I'm gonna do it in a fucking room full of bees. How about da?
That's a bad idea. Well, all right, we'll figure something else out. This closing theme song is Nick Vereshchak, who's the is part of a Toronto band called Rose Red Youth. So thanks, Nick. Thanks, Samuel. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Ciao.
I'm gonna go on a yog.
Enjoy.
Peace.
Hey, hi, I'm Amir. And I'm Jake Hurwitz. I like pussy. Me, I'm Amir Blumenfeld. I'm a goddamn chipmunk. And guess what? Me, you wish. It's true, I do love pussy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are.
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Laitman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.